Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, folks, hour number two. Man, if you missed any of our first hour, I really do want to encourage you to be sure and check it out. You can hear Michael Morris and I. We talked about a great deal about media and what's going on with media, and the last segment was with Derek Hawley. And talking about the NAACP and how they seem to want to kill black babies and sterilize black women. It makes absolutely no sense to Derek and I, but that's what's going on with the left. So anyway, wanted to bring that to your attention. You can find out more about it at ChildrenGenerationRadio.com. He's a part of Project 21 Black Leadership Network, and also is the host of his own program, Reaching America. Well, hey, I'm really excited to have my next guest join me, and I want to give you a heads up. Bottom of the hour, you don't want to miss this. Bottom of the hour, the Chief's Chief joins us. Mark Meadows will be with us. Bottom of the hour, Mark Meadows, Chief's Chief is a new book, but we'll get on with Mark, and we've got a short hit or a quick hit, about a 12 to 14 minute hit with him at the bottom of this hour, so you don't want to miss a minute of that. Joining me now, though, our constitutional attorney and expert, and it's my sincere pleasure to welcome to the program my good friend, David Chistokas. David, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, Greg. On this Grand Virginia morning.
Isn't it?
That's for another day, though, because I know we've agreed that we're going to discuss the situation in Wisconsin at the moment regarding Mr. Rittenhouse.
Yes, but we will again say congratulations to Glenn Youngkin, and congratulations also to Winsome Sears, the governor and lieutenant governor, respectively, elect of the great state of Virginia. And I do believe that it's going to be a great state again. I used to love going to Virginia. I used to love visiting Richmond, going down on the waterfront and partaking of some of the best food in the world. Seriously, some of the best food in the world, and I've eaten all over the place. And I'm telling you, Richmond, Virginia has some great restaurants there, and the beautiful Jefferson Hotel, which is a landmark and which is an incredible place to stay as well. Always loved, they just always treated me so well there in Richmond, Virginia. So love that place. All right, let's talk.
Before you leave, on a personal note, happy and congratulations, and I'm escaping his name at the moment, but to the first Cuban-American Attorney General of Virginia, that also, the Attorney General's office in Virginia also was red last night, and the Attorney General-elect I'm going to have to get to know, because certainly, hopefully, next November they'll say the first Lithuanian-American Attorney General of Illinois. So we'll, that was
Mayeras. A particular interest. No. Is it Mayeras, right? Mayeras is the gentleman that is ahead in the Virginia attorney race, 1,662,000 to 1,624,000, 38,000 is how much he is ahead right now. I don't know, with 98% in. So that is really incredible. Let me see. Accomack says, so different, they give different county results. But nonetheless, yes, good news with regards to that. Winsome Sears won by 58,000 votes, And Youngkin won by 72,000 votes. I guess they haven't quite called the Attorney General's race yet, although it's 50.6 to 49.4. I'm looking at CNN's politics. Maybe it's called somewhere else. But good news.
Okay,
let's move on to Rittenhouse. Let's talk about Kyle Rittenhouse and this trial that has begun. Some good testimony in the first day, it sounds like, but give me your thoughts.
Well, it was that, you know, I actually had quite a bit. I was watching it in the background while I was doing other work, so I caught quite a bit of yesterday's activities. And actually, while the testimony of the two witnesses they called was somewhat interesting, the more interesting aspect, I believe, is how the divergence between the opening statements of the state related to the defense. And the defense just did a masterful job of utilizing all the tools available of modern society and technology. There's so much video of the event from different directions, and actually including overhead FBI video that included heat sensors of all the people roaming around on the streets. It was just a masterful presentation by the defense and the state, basically, and just kind of talked about the various their position on the matter. And it was really kind of dead and flat. And there's a couple. It became clear. We'll talk about a couple of legal concepts that went together in what happened relative to the. Relative to the defense's presentation. The defense's presentation clearly went for what they one would describe as the all-out perfect self-defense defense. There's something called imperfect self-defense, which leaves some things open for the jury. The perfect self-defense is that, in Kyle's mind, the fact is that he, in fact, had his life in danger, and he responded appropriately. And they defend, but the thing that makes it perfective is that's his subjective situation, but it's also judged in an objective manner. That is, was it reasonable for Kyle to believe that? And they their presentation went basically, it was in fact reasonable for Kyle to believe that. There's a different concept called the imperfect self-defense, and that is where the defendant may have believed that, but his belief was unreasonable from an objective standpoint. And that can reduce something, say, from murder to manslaughter, but that doesn't set you free if you have what would be called an imperfect self-defense. If, you know, it's understandable that the defendant had a belief, but his belief was unreasonable in the minds of the general regular person out on the street. And that gives the jury some leeway to do some things, but the way they went, they're looking for a complete not guilty on this matter. But there's also something that was interesting that happened in addition to the murder charges and the charge regarding the aggravated battery regarding the individual that was shot but not killed. There's an additional charge of
recklessness, right?
No, what I was going to talk about was the fact that they charged him with illegally possessing the weapon because, of course, he's underage, and that was is illegally possessing. There's a strategic matter here because Mr. Rittenhouse is charged with that crime, and that crime, in fact, is a done deal. He's guilty on that, you know, that he should not have had the weapon because he was underage relative to Wisconsin law. And in many circumstances, strategically, the lawyers would, in fact, go ahead and plead guilty to that case so that it's off the table and it's not even an issue and it doesn't arise in the course of the trial and it doesn't even get discussed. They chose not to enter such a thing, even though it's quite clear that that's a slam dunk that he's guilty. And it appears as though that they went for all out on the complete self-defense matter, and then left that other charge in play, although he has absolutely no defenses to that charge. which would give the jury the opportunity to find him not guilty on the major, most dangerous charges, and yet find him guilty on this other charge, in which case when the jury comes back in, if in fact they find him not guilty on the murder charges and aggravated battery charge, they still will be in a position to say, on this other matter, guilty. So they've given the jury this option of coming back with some sort of guilty finding. And strangely enough, there's a number of reasons to do that, and to allow them that option so that they can also give something to the community. So there's a lot of interesting things going on there in the Rittenhouse matter.
Interesting. Okay. Because I had read at one point in time that in Wisconsin, a person under the age of 18 could potentially, that the problem was they assumed that he had crossed state lines with the weapon, which in fact wasn't the case. And I think that was the reason that Black was brought forward to give testimony, because he testified that no, he was the one that actually allowed Kyle Rittenhouse to borrow his weapon.
Well, that testimony is kind of interesting too, because Black testifies, Kyle's friend testifies through the history of where the history of the weapon is, where the weapon came from. But on the day of the event, he testified that in fact Rittenhouse came to Black's home, took the weapon without permission, and so strangely enough, Black is covered himself for his own charges of providing the weapon to Rittenhouse. That whole suit scenario was kind of interesting, because Black has pending charges, but his case is not set for trial until January. But the interesting thing during the course of his testimony is he testified in a way that protected himself, because he essentially said Rittenhouse took the weapon out of the home without permission, and so to that extent, that kind of gets Black off the hook from the charges that he's on. But yet, as you say, indicates that the weapon did not come from Illinois, but rather had remained had always been in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and that actually gets strangely enough a federal issue out of the way, because the crossing of the state lines would raise some potential federal liability. Whether the weapon was originally in Illinois or Wisconsin has no bearing on the Wisconsin law in terms of the possession. But it does actually go more towards Rittenhouse's defense, in terms of the fact that he did not travel from Antioch, Illinois to Kenosha, Wisconsin with the weapon, and that goes more towards his lack of intent to being involved in gunplay, if you will. So it was a good day for Rittenhouse, all in all.
Yeah, a lot of interesting twists and turns that seem to have come up. I was looking at there's legalinsurrection.com has a blow by blow with video that you can watch, so you can not only listen to their commentary, but then you can watch the video, to make your own decision. One of the things that was interesting that we'll get into when we get back was the defense's opening statement. You alluded to it, but I think it's important to note, because of all of the 40 different items that they actually presented, and basically the prosecution whined about it. Back with more.
Hi, this is Michael, creator of Michael's MNP supplements. Let's talk energy. Do you wake up tired even after a full night's sleep? Does keeping up with your family and or your job leave you exhausted by noon? Do you find yourself turning way too early in the day and too often to caffeine-loaded drinks just to get you through it all? Why not turn to Michael's MNP's energy factors instead? Our energy factors are safe, healthy, and a natural way to keep your body energized and without that caffeine crash that you get from those laden drinks. Visit us today at michaelshealth.com.
This is Pastor Greg, and I use Energy Factors. They're great. Order yours today at michaelshealth.com. That's michaelshealth.com, and use Pastor Greg for your special discount. That's Pastor Greg, and get your special discount today. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper, and since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code Pastor Greg for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today.
800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hey, don't forget to support our sponsor. Yes, we want you to be sure and support. Patriot Mobile is one of our important sponsors. You can support them. They're the only Christian conservative mobile phone company. They're on all the big towers. They've got all the great coverage, and they have great pricing for you as well. Patriot Mobile, supporting causes that we believe in. And I hope you believe in them, too. Christian conservative causes. Support them today. You can call them 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. Use the code CHOSEN, and you'll get a free activation. Use the code CHOSEN, free activation. Call them at 972-PATRIOT or go to the website, and that is patriotmobile.com/chosen. patriotmobile.com/chosen. For that same free activation deal. Support our sponsors. It's very important. They need to know that you hear us, and they're the reason why we're able to be here. So whether it's MyPillow and using the code Pastor Greg, or AMAC using the code Pastor Greg, or whether it's Patriot Mobile and Chosen, all of those are folks that need to hear from you. And if you'd like to help support us, you can do that at the website or go to paypal.me/PastorGreg. paypal.me/PastorGreg. It's a tax deductible donation. Or you can send a check to Faith Harvest Church, P.O. Box 3393, Bandera, Texas 78003. That's Faith Harvest Church, P.O. Box 3393, Bandera, Texas 78003. And we will appreciate very much your support. We're here by sponsorship and by your support, and we're here for you to bring you truth. David Shostokas, our constitutional attorney. You can find David at the website under the CG contributors at chosengenerationradio.com. That's chosengenerationradio.com, and you'll find David Shostokas. Click on his picture. Constitutional Soundbites, as well as his book on the Declaration of Independence. Encourage you to pick up both of those and find out more about our guest, David Shostokas, at his website. David, we were talking about Rittenhouse. One of the things that struck me as well was the job the defense did in the opening statement. And, you know, having been a jurist and a jury foreman in times past, and, of course, you're a prosecutory attorney veteran, talk to me about how important you believe those opening statements are relative to the impact on a jury.
I suspect often, of course, it's very difficult to get in the mind of the jurors afterwards. And usually when we have done jury trial, when you do jury trials, the judge always asks if the jurors will speak with the attorneys afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so frequently I've been part and parcel of discussions with juries after the cases. And you know what? You learn the most from the jurors in the cases that you lost. And I would suggest that, but one of the things you learn is, yes, the opening statements do in fact not only set the tone, but quite regularly set things in the minds of the jurors and can decide the case before they hear the rest of the evidence. And yesterday, the state chose to just kind of go through a narrative that they spoke of in terms of what they thought happened. The defense, on the other hand, essentially went through the entire case and presented most of the video and picture evidence that was available, of which there was much, and so they told the whole. Essentially, they told the whole case, which follows a general rule about tell people what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them.
I'm chuckling because I literally was starting to write that down on my notepad here as my thought. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Yeah, no, if you're going to give a good speech, right, Dale Carnegie, the speech course, right? If you're going to give a good speech and know your subject, don't talk about something you don't know. Don't talk about things that you're kind of guessing about. Know your topic, own your topic, and then tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. And it sounds to me like the defense basically has already told them, this is the case, this is what we're going to tell you, and now they're going to tell them what they told them, and they're going to show it to them and further imprint it, and the prosecution is crying, it's not fair, Your Honor, because we did such a bad job.
Yeah. It was very unfortunate.
Wow.
And I can't stand that prosecutor's rooster haircut thing that he's got going on. It's so distracting, and it would be extraordinarily distracting to the jurors. And it's amazing when what people comment about from time to time. During the course of a particular trial, I actually, before I had LASIK surgery, I actually wore glasses, and I had some glasses that, unfortunately, an arm broke during the course of the trial. When I talked to the jurors afterward, everybody was asking me what happened to my glasses.
That's all we know. We don't know what you said. We just want to know, how come you got those funny glasses on, Mr. Shostokas?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's something that's stuck in my mind, so I've always... You actually don't want to make yourself the issue as an attorney in the case. But jurors look at a lot of things.
I've got Mark Meadows is calling in. Folks, we're going to take a break. Back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this.